Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Gentlemen, we're talking about the faith-filled life, but really particularly from the father's perspective, it's a very important thing. Okay, fathers aren't just kicking around the football in the backyard. Some fathers haven't even done that, such as myself, or you, Jamie. Or what about you, Bill?
Definitely kick the footy in the backyard.
Good. Yeah, well, that's good. We'll get to that in a minute. But a faith-filled home is largely one of the responsibilities that obviously falls on the father. And it's a big responsibility, and there'll be some tender moments in here and serious moments, but jovial moments as well. I'm going to kick off with you, Mark, if that's all right. Is that okay? How are you intentional about establishing faith in your family? How are you intentional about it, and not by accident?
Well, the only reason I am a father, the only reason I managed to marry my wife, Kerry, was because I had an encounter with Christ, a very profound encounter as a 20-year-old. Then I started going to church and then met Kerry. And so my whole life radically changed. So God has always been, since my conversion, the number one priority in my life. And so it's, I don't have to think, oh, God needs to be my number one. He just is it. And so I then started to, that's just as an overflow out of my life, into my kids and into our lifestyle as a family.
That's excellent, mate. And look, how did you achieve it with the kids? How did you actually foster that spirit of faith in the home with the kids?
Well, I was chatting with Kerry and she reminded me that when the kids were little, I used to read them Bible stories every night and make them a lot of fun and have fun with it. And so I think the fact of the matter, to make Christianity to me is the most exciting thing. And so making God and church and family life fun and exciting, that's a real key, I think, with kids, passing that on to our kids.
I love that, mate. It's brilliant stuff. Let's just clarify that by talking to the son, who had a front row seat. Joel, talk to us about the sort of things that your dad did that inspired you to stay in church, be faith-filled, to actually go on and do that in the life of your son. Talk to us about... Cameras on your face here. Quite the cheap seats. Is that what you said? Yeah. Talk to us about those things that you took from following his example.
Yeah. So for me, in most recent times, I guess as a teenager, growing up in church, I don't know if you're a good parent or a bad parent, but I think your kids are always going to hate you at some stage. So I did. And I think we got to make our own choice to come to church. We have to, we are covered by the grace of God through our parents as we're children, and then we've got to get to that stage where we have to make our own decision. But for me in recent times, it was going through divorce and really struggling, and I just needed to see strength. And in that moment, Dad showed me complete vulnerability. And in that, there was strength. And in that, I learned a great deal about parenting and being a father, and yeah.
It's beautiful, mate. Wow. Look, I'm not even asking them to clap, and they're clapping. You guys are pulling on the heartstrings this morning. Jamie, not all of us have had the privilege of growing or being born into a family where our parents were taking us to church every Sunday, praying for us, reading those Bible stories with funny voices and being characters, fairy tale creatures and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, we had to carve our own path.
Yeah.
Talk to us a bit about your journey.
Yeah.
But also how you've established faith in the home, whereas it perhaps hasn't been modeled to you.
So I grew up in kind of a Christian home. I went to church for a few years. My mum was the instigator of that. She died when I was about 10, then we stopped going. So I didn't go from like 10 until I moved here to Australia until I was about 25. So there was a big break there. I always found growing up a little bit in kind of a Christian home, God always seemed a bit fragile. You know, if you did something wrong, God would be, it'd freak out. Or if you asked a question, heaven forbid, about God, it'd be like, you don't ask questions, you know, you just flip and do it. And so he's very fragile. So it was almost a little bit of a blessing to me, I think, even growing up in a family where I didn't get a chance to get religiosified so much. So I've always tried to implement in our family how real God is. Yeah. Like real, not religious, like real, real. So when I pray for the kids at night, we'll pray and I'll lay hands on the kids and I'll pray for a while and I go, do you feel that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Spirit of God. He brings you peace. So you actually experience it and you actually feel it and you understand it. Because once you understand something, you don't have to remember it. So understanding what they feel is, somebody told me once that they teach bank tellers how to distinguish between real notes and counterfeit notes by just feeling the real stuff all the time. So I feel with my kids, if they feel the real thing all the time, the thing that really brings them peace all the time, so that when they're at a party or somewhere and someone goes, hey, how about this? This is fun. This will bring you peace. This will bring you joy. I've already felt the real thing.
Yeah.
I said, I've already felt the real thing. But it is. You know what I mean? And once you've already felt the real thing. That, and real practically, I think having dinner together at a table, man, that's so important. Yeah. To be able to talk about stuff. And getting together. I didn't have that growing up. And I think it's so important to always say grace. When my kids have friends come around, you know, we'll still hold hands and they think it's weird, but that's okay. And we normally stand and I dance and no. But it's...
you dance.
But, it's a simple dance. On the table.
On the table. Yeah, YMCA, yeah.
Yeah, you would. But just to pray and just to talk at the table, I think, is awesome. Just to make God as real as you possibly can. Not to go on, but can I mention one other thing?
Please.
Just, you know, about even things of faith. Just not to talk about, hey, have faith in God, but to go, you've got a situation you need changed. Let's look for a scripture that applies to it. Let's put the scripture next to your bed and let's speak the word of God over that situation. Because this scripture is truth. And if you apply truth to a situation, the situation changes. Because truth is greater than the situation. Just simplicity that makes, I think, a family and kids just understand the way that God works, and then they understand it and they can carry it.
You've mentioned the having a meal thing, which is something that's emphasized a lot as far as having healthy families are concerned, because you can talk, obviously you take your time, you're breaking bread, it's communion. But the prayer thing that you mentioned about and the counterfeit note, just like elaborate on that a little bit more for fathers here, maybe about the importance of praying for their kids, even if they're actually praying for their kids in the room, praying for them also privately. No doubt you've spent time doing that over the years. Yeah. Obviously, they haven't seen you do that, but it's something that God has seen. Talk to us about the importance of praying for your kids.
Yeah, I'm all about praying very specifically. And when you pray for your kids at night, don't pray for what you want for your kids. Pray for what they want for their lives in their world, which 99% of the time is about friends. You know, and pray for the real situations that, you know, thank God for their, I look, my kids have got the most amazing friends, and thank God for their friends. I actually had a cracker the other day. I walked into Roxy's room and she'd been feeling sick for a few days and she was about to go to a dance concert, and I was running out the door and I thought, man, I got to run up and pray for Roxy. Went into a room and I said, Roxy, and she was just getting ready, putting her dance stuff on. I said, let me pray for you. I was like, I rebuke this sickness off your life. Get off alive, you yucky sickness. Pray God, the power of God on her, that she has strength today. She has energy today. She does her best job and all this sort of thing. And I finished and I said, we thank you and praise you for a great success today. And Roxy said, do you want to say hi to Sophie? And she was FaceTiming a friend on her iPad. And I said, hi, Sophie. And she goes, hi.
Pray for Sophie. Yeah. Sophie, do you want to come to Christ? Yeah.
It was a shocker, wasn't it?
That's brilliant.
It was like, yeah. But anyway.
No, that's fantastic. Now, Bill.
Be specific.
You and Roz have raised two terrific sons. Deadly. I mean, one of them was up playing acoustic guitar. There's nothing he can't do, you know. And he's also got the right name, Ryan. He's up there in chapel, kicking goals, doing a brilliant job. And obviously, there's a lot of teenagers here today because the youth stayed in. Talk to us about raising teenagers as a father. John Maxwell said in one of his books years ago that raising toddlers is like having a sleep under a coconut tree in Hawaii compared to raising teenagers. Talk to us about what it was like to raise teenagers and some of the things that you implemented as a father that was specific to those years.
Well, I feel quite inadequate after sitting beside Jamie talking about what he does. But really, I think it's about being present with your kids. With two boys, they go through these phases where they stop communicating, where there's challenges like you just don't know what's going on in their worlds. But I think for us it was just being present, understanding what was important to them and being supportive of their lives.
Yeah.
I went through a stage where I was actually very busy in my career at the time, and I was travelling overseas every fortnight for about 6 years through Mitchell's last 5 years of school and Ryan's through his middle years of school. And I was actually feeling quite somewhat guilty about not being there all the time. And I remember expressing that to the boys a couple of times, and Ryan just said, "Dad, don't worry about it. We know you have to go out and bring home the bacon to look after us." And it was sort of like I was feeling really bad about not being there for my kids. When I was there, obviously I was spending a lot of time with them and taking them to sport, and the weekends were about driving them from music to youth to sport to music to youth to church to music. I mean, it was just, we were taxi drivers. But it was great time with the kids, and I think the kids, even when they're not communicating, they might not want to spend time with you, but they want to know you're there for them.
Yeah.
It's sort of like I felt like there's a piece of elastic band between us. They actually want to be over there, but they need to know they're still attached. And so being there for them when they needed us, being interested in the things they are interested in, supporting their lives, and then just having unconditional love for them. I think that's really the bottom line. And then when they don't want to communicate, that's just they're going through stuff that they're trying to work out themselves, for boys in particular, and it was just being patient. And it's very hard to be patient when you can't have a conversation. You know, every question's answered with a word. It doesn't matter how open-ended your questions are. So, I don't know if anyone's been through this as fathers or mothers of teenage boys, but they come out of it. I remember Mitchell came out of it on a weekend. It was sort of like a period of time where he just wasn't communicating, and then one weekend he started talking in sentences again, and it was fantastic.
It's wonderful. No more grunts and groans, yeah. Bill, talk to us about how your connection to church and community as a father, particularly with the boys, has benefited your faith as a family.
Oh, yeah, that's got multiple facets. Firstly, I think there's big things in our lives and little things in our lives, and I think both of them are important. Our kids observe us. I was looking at Ephesians 5:1, "Therefore be imitators of God, copy him and follow his example. As well-beloved children, imitate their father." And I thought that was really interesting, that kids who are loved by their father are going to imitate their father. And so the challenge for us as fathers is to actually deepen our intimacy with God so our kids do the same. And so for me, there's lots of things and lots of little challenges that come across in our lives where our circumstances aren't where we want them to be, or they aren't where we think they should be. And so in those times, it's how we react to those situations that I think is a great testimony to our children. The big thing that happened in my life was I got cancer when Mitchell was 15, I think, and Ryan was 10, or might have been somewhere around there. And a couple of days into it, I thought, there's a chance I might not survive this. And at that time, I started getting a little less than peaceful in my spirit. And so I went to God, and I remember opening the scriptures, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and gave me a revelation that's changed my life from that moment on. And it was Ephesians 3:16. It was a Pauline prayer, and it basically is Paul praying that from the unlimited resources of the Holy Spirit that your inner man will be strengthened. And from that, I just felt like steel went into my spirit. And it didn't matter whether I lived or died during that process. I was going to do it well, and I had incredible peace. Now, the testimony of that was at the end of the process, which was 4 months later, Mitch said to me that he never, ever had any doubt because he never, ever saw any doubt in me. And you can come along and meet someone at church and convince them that life's good.
It's amazing, Bill.
So you can come along and convince someone at church that life's good and you're good and everything's great, but it's very hard for you to convince your kids who live with you anything that's not right. So it was just, that was God reveal himself to me in a way that my kids saw and I think, well, certainly changed my life and I believe had an impact on them.
That's amazing. Let's give Bill a hand. That is really, thank you, Bill. And tonight, I believe you and your second son, Ryan, will be on the panel. So we're going to go even a bit deeper tonight. Saundy, talk to us about the times, obviously being presumptuous that there have been, where faith has been tested, where it's been challenged in you personally, and you've had to hold the line, knowing that there's three kids that are counting on you and so on and so forth.
Yeah, well, life has lots of ups and downs. And just a few years ago now, Kerry and I went through a very difficult time, not in our relationship, but just circumstances round about us. And at that time, all our three kids were going through crises in their own personal worlds too that were very, very challenging. And so we, as a couple, we just decided that we were going to absolutely just serve God. And it's times like that that really show you that the most important things in life aren't finances or whatever. They are our relationship with God and our relationship with people, particularly our family. And so you've got to just, you walk through the valley. You know, Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley, you don't lie down in it. You hold your hands with your wife and your kids, and together as a family, we walk through that valley. And it was very tough, but we've come out the other side and into a good place. But there will always be challenges, and I think it's at that time that, you know, as parents, we've got to realize it's actually not just about us. People are watching, friends, extended family, church community, but also our kids, they are watching. And so it's just not about us for our sake. It's for everybody around about us to keep walking with God and just believe God, you know.
That is fantastic. Joel, yeah. Tell me something. Actually seeing Mark do that, seeing your dad do it, what are the particles of your faith that you've taken from seeing Dad do what he's done that you now want to implement as a father?
So Dad, just in saying that, it was, Pastor Josh Kelsey was here last week and introduced Dad as someone who was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is as loud as he is at home.
Is that right?
You know, and then he is on stage. You know, one of those questions was, what does Dad want to do on Father's Day? And I can tell you right now, we will go home, we will have lunch, and while everyone is still at the table, he will go have a sleep.
Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. And the front row is nodding. So
I resemble that.
Seeing Dad and doing that, and for us growing up as kids, we started three churches. Sunday is church day. Now I went through divorce, and it was, what day do you want your son? Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm bringing him to church.
Yeah, good man.
So you've made church a priority. Let's give him a hand. That's yeah. Great stuff.
I get my son one full day, a weekend. We'll be here.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, mate. It's great stuff. Priorities. Oh. Now, Jamie, question for you. Obviously, at family occasions, you can always tell when speeches are given that reference fathers, whether they're genuine or not.
Yeah.
Everybody can tell whether it's obviously lip service or it's authentic, it's genuine. How have you validated your kids, drawn out their interests, given them ownership, validated them, celebrated their authenticity, their uniqueness? How have you done it personally with your three terrific kids?
How have I validated their authenticity?
It's a big question. Let me simplify.
There's some massive words in there.
How have you validated your children and drawn out their opinions, their ideas, and encouraged them to be themselves?
How do I encourage my kids to be themselves? I grew up with a wonderful, wonderful alcoholic grandmother. And
it's about
wonderful.
To get interesting.
Oh, I used to go to the Bottle-O with her. She lived in just out of Christchurch in New Zealand, a place called Rangiora. And she would buy a flagon
Day,
of sherry, like a massive flagon of sherry. And we'd go home and we'd watch Coronation Street together. I was 6 years old. We'd watch Coronation Street together and she would drink and drink. And then she would always ask me to do impressions of like Frank Spencer. Anyone remember some others do have it?
Can you just give us one now?
Betty,
give us one now. We've got time. Give us one now.
Oh, I can't.
Come on, quick.
Oh, Betty. Cat's done a whoopsie in the corner. You know, it's, if you don't know it, forget it. And I would do impressions, like 6 years old, and I would do impressions. act out characters, and she would laugh and laugh and fall on the ground. I didn't realize it was because of that. I thought it's because I was so funny. And I go, huh, I've got the stuff, I'm amazing. And it was just because she was off her chops. So I learned a tip from my grandmother.
Yes. Stay off the bottle.
Not the drinking part. To encourage your kids to express themselves and to do that and whatever it is. I love my daughter Bella. Is she up there top? She plays tennis and she just started about a year ago and she's got so much better. I love going to see them and go, I love watching them and encouraging them and going, you're amazing. Yeah, do it. Do that thing. Do that thing you do. My nanny used to say to me, you know, do that thing. Do the thing. And she, whatever it was the best. And whether it's Maverick or Roxy too, I love watching them do their thing, whether it's Maverick playing soccer or Roxy dancing. Do the thing. Just do it. Do it. And, you know, Roxy would normally dance while the TV show's on, so you got to pause it. but it's awesome. And then I love to see them just do their thing and fail and succeed. And it's just to create an atmosphere where failure is totally good and part of the deal. Don't try and give me perfection. Just express who you are and express what you do, because you can't do that in the world. So you've got to have a safe place. You've got to create a safe place in your own home, that no matter what you do, what you step out and do, what picture you paint, or speech you say, or play you perform, it's brilliant and it's wonderful. And don't do exactly what you think you should do. Do what you want to do. And just give it to me straight out of your
come
heart.
Come on. Wow.
And very no, good. I'll cheer you on.
This is
that's
wonderful.
Kind of it.
Jeremy, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Bill, there's just so much more to go on here. This is fantastic. Look, fathering is a two-way street, okay? Obviously, kids are learning a lot from their parents, but fathers learn just as much from their kids as hopefully their kids learn from them. What are some of the things that you've learnt from your sons?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I think as there's different seasons your kids go through. So when they're younger, as they grow into teenage years, and as they get older and young adolescents, and I think it's just to be their friends. You know, as you get through a different, as they get a bit older, and both our kids are in their 20s now, that sexually they've become our best friends. And I think not sweating things, loving them, letting them work through things as we're working through things, and also maybe the biggest thing is that our stuff-ups as parents don't necessarily have to have a huge impact on our kids. So we're not perfect as parents. We'll never be perfect as fathers. But the love for our kids will cover up the inadequacies and the things that we're not good at. And so don't beat yourself up as a dad. Love your kids, and that will overcome most things. And for them, it comes back the other way as well. So, you know, don't expect them to be, you know, perfect, because they're not going to be. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. Sometimes we expect ourselves to be perfect, and we've actually got to forgive ourselves and just get over ourselves, because God doesn't expect us to be perfect. The same with our kids. It's just be there with them, love them, you know, have fun with them, you know. Our dinner times together now, when the boys are together, are the funniest things. Those guys pay out on us like you would not believe, and it's fun. Open to that. Have fun with them. For boys, obviously, there's various phases that they go through again, and to just embrace them. I sort of remember as they're both getting into teenage years, boys just used to like to run into their dad. You were walking through the shops and they just stop in front of you just to, so you'd run into them. And it was just, and I think there's things that boys do that it's quite funny to watch and observe, but just embrace those sorts of times, learn what they're going through, and sort of just be supportive and love them.
That's brilliant, Bill. It's wonderful. What about you, Joel? What have you learnt from being a dad from your incredible son?
From my son?
What has he taught you?
What has he taught? To me, he's a very bright young man, and that if you tell him, if he asks you a question and you give him an answer, it's locked in. So, he taught me some, he's like, oh, Dad, I've got to write you a poem, and it's verb, verb, and then he said something else. I'm like, well, what's that word mean? And I'm like, oh, I didn't know. He goes, oh, well, you should have known that. And I'm like, well, yeah, I forgot, I'm old. But he gets to the stage where it's, when he was just like four, he's like, how's a road work? How do they build a road? And I'm like, oh, well, they just, you know, a machine comes along and they dig it up and they put stuff in. He goes, yeah, but how does the machine work? So I'm just on YouTube, how do you build a road?
Here's YouTube.
Best thing ever. It's better than having, what's the Great Wall of China for? Yeah. To keep the rabbits out.
Keep the rabbits.
I just, it's true. You know, so, but he teaches all the time, just new sayings and, like Bill says, get involved. So, you know, he's slightly addicted to Fortnite, playing video games. So I was like, well, I'd go into the video store. I was like, I need a game that we can play together. And intentionally we did, and we got a video game, and there was five on it because it was an old game. And as we're finishing it, because we had played through the levels, he's like, Dad, you got to find something else. What's the next thing? So he wants to hang out with me.
What about you, Jamie? What have you learnt from your kids?
Gosh, that time, I think, is the most important thing I got. I won't say what your card said, kids, because that's personal, but I noticed with the Father's Day cards, it'll be simple things like, thanks for watching me play sport, or thanks for making me laugh, thanks for talking about God when we go to bed. Simple things like that. I think talking's overrated. I think connection is made through time. And then sometimes I think talking's a fruit of the connection that we make through just spending time, whether it's just sitting or watching or being there, or just, you know, when they go to bed at night, just lying down next to them and just talking smack, you know what I mean, about anything. And it doesn't,
I don't want
really
to rephrase
matter.
That, but anyway.
Yeah, just talking trash, you know, stuff. Sometimes, yeah. I think we got to talk to connect, and I think that's overrated.
And I've watched you with your kids, Jamie, and if there's somebody who does spend tons and tons of quality time, years ago I got inspired by an Insta post where you dressed up as a traffic light and with one of the kids with face paint, and I thought, you know, this guy's got a whole bag of tricks when no one's looking, and then you had the decency to post it on Instagram. Saundy, we'll take it out with you. Time's against us. What's some take-home value that you've learnt from your three terrific kids that's taught you when they have been your teacher?
Oh, I don't know if I can put my finger on anything specific, but I think, and I'd say to everybody, you know, as we all grow older, I think it's so important to hang around with younger people. And so spending time with Joel and my other kids, say Zahn and Summer and their kids, I just don't want to be hanging around with people my own age. I just think it's so important that we spend time with mature, older people than us, people the same age, but also younger people. I think that's just so important, because it keeps us excited. It keeps us a rev up on technology and the latest thing. And I think that they give so much to us, and I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Wonderful. Stand up, guys. Can we thank these guys this morning for doing a brilliant job?
Hey, everyone. What a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason. We're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.